crowd cried out to crucify. They nailed him to a rugged cross and left him there to die. They gambled for the royal robe he wore, not knowing they had crucified my Lord. He bore the sin and shame of all mankind. And as he hung there dying, I was on his mind. His sacrifice and love some don't appreciate, but I would like to speak and set the record straight. That's my God, and I love him. That's my Jesus. He died for me, for all the world to hear. I'll say it loud and clear. That's my God.
Some say he's nothing more than a fairy tale. He's just a myth or legend. His presence is not real.
His word is not correct politically. They curse and mock his name defiantly. Oh, but time has never changed the changeless one. Their lies cannot disprove the existence of his son. Though some may be content to just sit by, I for one must stand and testify. That's my God, and I love him. That's my Jesus. He died for me, for all the world to hear. I'll say it loud and clear. That's my God. That's my God.
Heritage Baptist Church. We are the Saunders family, and my name is Nathan, and this is my wife Kelly, and Luke, Logan, and Leah. And we are sent out of Bible Baptist Church in Rossville, Georgia, and we are serving through Macedonia World Baptist Missions. You saw our display sitting out there. Please take any of the literature that you see. I said that one time, and a young person, a teenager, came to me afterwards. He said, "Can I take one of the Papa?" I said, no. Yeah, you can have any of the literature. Amen. Please take one of our prayer cards. We are on deputation. We are up to about 85-90% of our needed support. And we travel literally all over the world, mostly here in the United States. I serve as the director of the Southwest, and I also serve as the director of outreach and recruitment. And so many churches, they ask me, they say, "Brother Saunders, what does a year look like for you?" Well, the majority of the time, we're in Bible colleges, youth camps, Christian schools, and churches all across the country. And we're trying to challenge the next generation to surrender to the call to go. People ask me all the time, they say, "Where in the world are missionaries going to come from?" This is what I tell them: your children and your grandchildren.
That's right.
Oh, yes. And it could very well be one of you. And we'd be more than honored to see you get into the ditch with us. Amen. The Bible talks about fight the good fight of faith, and that the fields are still wide unto harvest. But the Bible says the laborers are few. And so we're also in the Southwest United States. Somebody saw our map out there from Louisiana to the metropolis of California. We desperately, desperately need more churches. See, in the Southwest, it's not like it is here. Here in Florida, you can basically stand on the front porch of one Baptist church, pick up a rock, and smack another one. Out West, it's not like that. They are few and far between. And the mission field is still great. You know, it's very sad that we call this the Bible Belt. Here we can hear the gospel preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. You can go to Sunday school. Typically, there's either a Wednesday night or a Thursday night service. And there's usually always revivals and camp meetings that are planned throughout the year, missions conferences. But you go out west, you're not going to find that. And so as the director of the Southwest, we help our missionaries. Do you know what they face oftentimes? Loneliness. They're there alone. What Baptist churches there are, they're hours away from each other. Many of those men will tell you that the towns around them could have anywhere from 6,000 people right up to 60,000 people, not one independent Baptist church. Now, I've already enjoyed myself being here at Heritage Baptist Church, walking in and meeting friendly faces, amen. Well, I'm grateful it's a friendly church. We have, as many churches we've been in, we have been in some churches that were not friendly. Oh, yeah. I was the guest preacher. I sat on the pew and everything. This lady walked over to me. She says, "That's my seat." She said, "What'd you do?" I got up and me and my wife, we moved over to another pew. Amen. I'm glad it's not like that here at Heritage Baptist Church. I'm grateful for the fact that there's smiles on people's faces. Amen. It's a friendly place. And the Spirit of God is real here. Amen. I'm grateful for the fact that we can come and worship together. Now, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and show the video. It's really going to explain a lot of our ministry, of what we do. And I want to say this as he's getting that ready. Part of our ministry is not only seeing churches planted out west and challenging young people, but also helping churches to see the need of the mission field. As the world, as you know, it's getting larger and larger, and time is getting shorter and shorter. For we know good and well that there's going to come a time that the Lord's going to sound that trumpet, and it's going to be done. Okay? And so there is a lot of work to do and little time to do it in. And so we also, not only do we challenge young people here and help train them for the mission field, but we also want to help get them there as well. And so we help churches with what's called a mission trip. Okay? How many of you have never been out of the country before? Raise your hands. You've never been out of country. Okay, so how many of y'all have been out of the country? Wow, I am impressed. The majority of the churches I'm in, it's usually the other way around. 90% of them raise their hands and say, "I've never been out of the country." Okay, how many of you have never? How many of you have been on a mission trip? That's the question to ask. Okay. So the majority of you have. So when you went out of country, it was probably either the military or you went on vacation. Am I right? Yeah. How many of y'all went on a cruise? Okay. Usually tells me everything. You have a pastor that was a missionary. And I will tell you right up front, being in churches where the pastor has spent some time as a missionary, it's very different. The majority of the churches we're in, 9 times out of 10, the people there have never been out of their state or their country. That's sad. And so in their mind, where they live, it must be like that everywhere else. And it is not. Okay? And so we help churches take mission trips. In fact, we're going to be taking one. Logan and I, we went to Papua New Guinea last year. It's on the other side of the world. We were there for 2 weeks. Saw a lot of people trust Christ as their Savior. It's a very dangerous place. But can I tell you something? It was worth the risk. Luke had the privilege of taking his first mission trip to England in December. And Luke has a great burden for England. And then my family, we're all going to the country of Honduras in May. And we're taking a group with us. And we're going to spend a week with the Rolstons. And then from there, the young people that we're taking, the majority of them are teenagers. They will get to see what it's like to be in a city in a third world country. And then from there, we do different outreaches in schools and within that church. And we will get on a bus or an airplane, go over to another part of Honduras, and there we get into a boat. And we go up the river to the village called Mesquito. Now, if you want me to translate that for you, it's very evident where we're going, okay? I think Off will probably be the main cologne that everybody will probably wear while we're there. And they'll get to see what the mission feels like in the jungle. And so please pray. Pray that God will do a work within these young people's lives and their hearts. Pray that God will open their eyes. I'm praying that God will call some of them to the mission field. And if not, when they come back, you know what my prayer is? That they'll be faithful members in their Baptist church and they will give faithfully to world missions. You know, missionaries cannot survive on the mission field without churches like you. And so please, the work is great and the need is great. So let's go ahead and show that video if we can. I know we got no signal now. I probably already went over the time.
There we go. All right. We found out last night. We did not know this until last night talking with them. They're taking this. When are you going to Honduras?
In May.
In May. They're going where they're going to Honduras with the Rolstons is where Kara is. We found that last night. They're going to be there. That's one of their missionaries through their board and going to be there. And so I hadn't. We've talked about this and I talked a little bit about it, and we're going to do this at the end of the service. But Kara is a missionary without a home church. I mean, she's a member of our church, but we've never voted to be her sending church. And so we're going to do that at the end of our service. But isn't that exciting that they're having to be here? God worked that. I mean, it's a small world, isn't it? It's good to be a part of that. Let's get this started.
Our great land, once built upon a foundation of faith in the Word of God, now vaguely resembles a Christian nation. Churches in America are closing by the thousands every year. For every new church that is planted in the United States, 4 others close. What will we do? Will we just give up? We must do all that we can to reach the souls of our nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the Saunders family, Nathan, Kelly, Luke, Logan, and Leah. We're sent out of Bible Baptist Church of Rossville, Georgia, under Pastor Ricky Gravely, and serving through Macedonia World Baptist Missions. Our family has spent 13 years in the ministry of church planting in the western United States. And now God's called us to help other church planting missionaries to do the same. Much like the Apostle Paul, we desire to work alongside these men and their families to see churches planted all over the western region of our great country. More specifically, God has burdened our hearts for the southwestern region of the United States. When you think about the Southwest, it's natural to imagine the arid deserts, red rock landscapes, rugged mountains, and amazing natural wonders like the Grand Canyon. But from the bayous of Louisiana to the Pacific coast of California, there are over 100 million souls that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Southwestern culture is one that is gripped in false religion. Native American spirit worship, Catholicism, and Mormonism have blinded them to the truth of salvation through Christ alone. Shrouded in spiritual darkness, they desperately need the light of the gospel before it's eternally too late. The Bible says in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Our prayer is that God will raise up an army to reach this under-evangelized region of our great land. Statistics show that of the 10 U.S. cities that most need gospel-preaching churches, 6 of the 10 are in the southwest U.S. There are over 235 counties that have 0 independent Baptist churches, and another 97 counties that need 10 or more churches to reach their population with the gospel. please pray for our family as we assist in church planting efforts and encourage missionaries all across the southwestern United States. Please pray that God will use us as we go into Bible colleges, Christian schools, and youth camps to challenge the next generation to surrender to go. Please pray for us as we host the Reach the World Youth Conferences all across the country. Please pray for more laborers. Christ emphasized this in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. There is a great need in the Southwest USA and all across the world. God is still willing that all should come to repentance. Will you tell them? Will you go?
Forgiveness for their sin. Now today we too must go. We've been commanded to do the same. Let me ask you, who will go in Jesus' name?
Who will go that the world might know the Savior? Who will go that the world might know? Jesus loves them. And who will give that man might live in Christ today?
If not you, tell me who. If not now, please tell me when, that this world will hear about the one who died for all their sin. Oh, we have hope, we have truth. How can we sit here so still when the world outside these walls is bound for hell?
Who will go that the world might know? Jesus loves them. And who will give that man might live in Christ today? Who will tell those bound for hell that Jesus loves them? And who will give that man might live in Christ today?
Let's open our Bibles, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. While you're turning there, I also want to say, please be in much prayer for our family. We host what's called the Reach the World Youth Conferences, and they're becoming regional. We have one that's coming up at the end of this month. It's going to take place in Northport, Florida, and they're expecting close to 200, if not more, from what the pastor told me, teenagers, young adults. And you say, what are you going to do? We're going to challenge them for missions. We're bringing in missionaries from all around the world, and they're going to preach to them. So that one's going to take place at the end of February. And then in March, we're also having another one that's going to take place basically a week apart from the one in Florida. We're shooting all the way up to Shelbyville, Tennessee, and we're doing one there. And then we have to shoot right back down to Georgia to do one as well. So it's going to be nonstop for us. We were missionaries, as you could tell, in Montana. We had a beautiful home. The church was on a growing spurt. We went from a 1,200 square foot building that we rented to 10 acres, three buildings that the church owns, lock, stock, and barrel. And I was living the pastoral dream. I had nothing to want. As far as I was concerned, I was going to live and die in Montana. I mean, we loved it all from the mountains to hunting all the different animals with the guys in my church to, I mean, every bit of it. I was a law enforcement chaplain. I also moonlighted for one of the funeral homes. So if you died, I was the guy that would come pick you up. I mean, we were invested in Montana. Two out of the three of my kids were born there. And wouldn't you know it, I got to live in this beautiful, brand new house. We had a contractor in our church that built it for us for cost. About 3 months into it, my wife and my kids were gone that day, and the Holy Spirit of God showed up and said, Nathan, I really need you to go back into missions. Now, I'm as human as everyone sitting here, so when I say this, please, please don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I literally told the Lord this, now? Really? Lord, look how far we've come together with this thing. And Lord says, yeah, I need you to turn it over to the next guy. And I need you to go back into missions. And here's the reason why we desperately need more preachers, more missionaries, more evangelists, more pastors. And so my wife and I and my family, my kids, we have devoted ourselves into challenging this next generation. And I will tell you, listen, it is our passion in seeing young people surrender to the call to go. I myself, I was 15 years old when I surrendered to be a missionary, and I was 16 when I surrendered to preach. And I'm telling you, I love every second of it. I tell young people this all the time. Every day with God is a new adventure. Why not start yours today? Here in the Word of God, we see here a verse of Scripture. Now, this passage is very familiar to all of us. How many of y'all have heard of David and Goliath? Okay? It's a very familiar passage. If you've been to VBS, certainly you probably heard this story before. But here in this passage of Scripture, there is an amazing message of world evangelism that we're going to see here today. The Bible says here in verse 32, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" Let's pray together. Lord, I love you today. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and honor it is to be at Heritage Baptist Church and the good people here. And I pray, Lord, this morning, may you pass over this place like a tidal wave. I pray, dear God, Lord, may you pass by every pew, touch every heart, every life. And, Lord, challenge us from the Word of God today. And, Lord, I need you desperately. For, Lord, without you, I am nothing. And so, Lord, I desperately need the power of God. Touch my feeble lips this morning. And, Lord, if there's one here today that may be lost, I pray that at the close of this service, Lord, may they be gloriously saved. I pray, Lord, may you show them the need of a Savior. And I pray, dear God, today, Lord, may hearts be ever so stirred for the souls of men all over this world. Please, dear God, meet with us today in this message at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a great service, young D.L. Moody was under great conviction as he heard the evangelist Henry Varley preach and thunder out these words. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who is totally yielded to Him. Moody was captivated by these words and resolved within his heart, by the grace of God, I will be that man. Amy Carmichael, a single missionary lady, she was a missionary to India. She said this, "Does it not stir up our hearts to go forth and help them? Does it not make us long to leave our luxury, our exceeding abundant life, and go to them that sit in darkness?" So I have a question for you this morning, Heritage Baptist Church. Will you go? Will you go? Now listen, I know good and well God's not calling all of you to get on an airplane and go to Sri Lanka, or go to Honduras, or go to Nicaragua, or go to Puerto Rico, or go to where I was in Peru for a while, or even go to maybe some of the southwestern states. I don't know. But I do know this. God's called every one of us to reach people with the gospel. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Will you go? Stanley Blue is one of my mentors. He said this, if you're not willing to go across the seas, will you be willing to go across the streets? So I have a question for you this morning. Will you go? How many of you would be honest with me and say, Brother Nathan, I have lost family members and lost friends. Will you raise your hands? You can see them in your mind's eye. You know exactly who they are. You know where they live. So who's going to tell them the gospel? Well, Brother Saunders, I'm waiting for a preacher to go and tell them. Well, you can look at me and look at your pastor. We show up in a suit and tie and everything. It's somewhat intimidating. Amen. But they know who you are. Your blood, your kin. They trust you. They'll even let you into their home. You already have easy accessibility into their home. For me and preacher, it might be a little harder than that. Why? Because you have a relationship, and right now we don't. Won't you reach them with the gospel? Will you go? There's some things. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to see, number one, there's the courage of a missionary. There is the courage of a missionary. That's what we need in our churches today, is some Christians with some courage. The Bible says this here in verse 23. Look with me now. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled for him, for they were what? Sore afraid. They were afraid. They lacked courage. How often is it that we lack courage in this day and time? You're at a restaurant, and the Holy Spirit nudges your heart. Give that waitress a track. Give that person a track. Invite them to the house of God. Oh, Lord, I don't think they want to hear what I have to say. Lord, I look at the time, Lord. I've got to go. No, will you go? Not leave, but will you go and tell them the gospel? Courage. My mom and dad were at Walmart. And as they were shopping and everything, the Holy Spirit of God nudged both of their hearts and said, you need to go talk to that lady over there. My dad looked at, you're just looking across the aisle. My dad began to describe what this lady looked like. He said, son, she was somewhat intimidating. She had tattoos all up and down her arms. He said, yet the Holy Spirit of God just continued to nudge her hearts. My mom and dad got behind her in line and everything, and dad and mom began to witness to her. And they led her to Christ. You know what? They invited her to their church. Boy, she's a faithful member. And guess what? She got to be discipled. And when she was discipled, she also got to learn how to lead others to Christ. Wouldn't you know it? She's at Walmart. And as she's pushing her cart, the Holy Spirit says, I need you to go and talk to that lady over there. And she looked over and she said, Lord, I can't talk to her. She's covered from head to toe in tattoos. And the Lord says, yeah, I know. And so are you. And so she's trying to muster up the courage. She's like, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this. And so she follows the lady over to the... She gets behind her at the cash register, and she still hasn't found the courage to talk to her yet. And so then she follows her out into the parking lot. Still, she doesn't have the courage to talk to her yet. So she gets in her car, and she follows her all the way home. And she pulls into her driveway. The lady gets out, and she says, are you following me? She says... Well, yes, ma'am, I actually am. And she said, here's the reason why. I drove all this way to tell you that there's a God in heaven that loves you. That He died for your sins. And I'm here to tell you a wonderful story. There's a love letter in the Bible. It's called John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That lady that day bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. And then this is what she told her. She said, I went to Walmart today. I bought all these groceries for my husband and my kids. And I came home today to go into that house. And I was going to put my husband's gun to my head. And I was going to take my life. But now I have a reason to live. You better listen. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart, boy, you ought to tell others, because you never know. It could be their last day here on this earth. And if they take their last breath, according to the Bible says in hell, He lifted up His eyes. Courage. What we need is courage. I will tell you that the enemies of God will face you. See what the Bible says in verse 1 of this chapter? What's the very first word of the chapter? Now. Now the Philistines gather together their armies to battle. Listen, it doesn't matter if you go to Honduras. It doesn't matter if you go to Papua New Guinea. It doesn't matter if you go to South America where I was, or Asia, or Africa. It doesn't matter where you go. I'm here to tell you, the enemies of God, they're there to face you. They are. When I was a missionary in South America, the Catholic religion was already there. The Brothers of Penitence, Los Hermanos de Penitentes, that's what they called them. They looked like the Ku Klux Klan. On Good Friday morning, everybody there would throw out their beer bottles and whiskey bottles into the main street, and then these men would take off their shoes because somebody told them, if you want to see the gates of heaven, you're going to have to earn penitence. And they would beat themselves profusely. Why wouldn't somebody right here at Heritage Baptist Church have the courage to stand in the streets and say, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to walk down these streets. You don't have to beat yourself. Listen to what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those men, they were literally beating themselves. I flew on an airplane with another missionary. He and I didn't even know each other. Funny thing is, we started witnessing to each other and then figured out real quick, hey, we're both Baptist preachers. I asked him, I said, how long have you been here? He said, I've been here for years. I said, is it really true? He said, Nathan, he said, I wanted to go see it for myself. He said, I went there. He said, there was an old man standing there. He was already, he had removed his shirt and everything. And he said, he was getting ready to put on his cloak. And he said, he had this heavy cross that he was going to have to bear all the way down the street. He said, so I asked him, can I just see what the load is going to be like, the weight? And he said, this guy's pretty big. He's pretty stout. And he said, two of those men walked over, and he said, they put that cross on my shoulders. He said, I could barely even hold it up. And he said, I watched this short man carry this cross for miles. You see why? He was so desperate to see the gates of heaven. He had told that missionary, he goes, I've done so many evil things. I have so much sin. And that man, that missionary began to tell him, hey, you don't have to go that way. But he was so scared and so desperate, he bore that cross for miles. In Papua New Guinea, we stood up to the Seventh-day Adventists. We literally held up signs that say the Sabbath cannot save. Can I tell you something? It can't. You cannot do some dietary plan to go to heaven. It's just salvation. It's a free gift. Christ paid the debt. He paid it all. Oh, listen, if we would just accept it. The courage of a missionary. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know what we need in our churches today? Some risk takers. We're so scared of, well, I don't know if that's politically correct for the Saunders. It's Bible. It's Bible. Some risk takers. Maybe y'all ever heard of closed countries. Come on, raise your hands. Can I tell you something? There's no such thing. You just got to be creative on how you're going to get in there. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. See, Brother Saunders, it's against the law. It's not against this. And reaching them with the gospel. Every man has a soul. Who's going to tell them the gospel? Who's going to free them? Courage of a missionary. Number two, I want you to see this. There's the cause of a missionary. What did David say? David said this in verse 29. Look, it says this. It says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Heritage Baptist Church, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to reach others with the gospel? Is there not a cause to take on more missionaries? Is there not a cause to keep reading those prayer letters? Is there not a cause? Why is it that when you were here on this earth, how many of y'all remember the day you got saved? Amen? Well, I do. I remember that day. What a glorious day it was. I was 5 years old when I trusted Christ. I'm so grateful that salvation isn't exclusive to just Americans. It's to everybody. And where I lived, my parents were missionaries. I'm a third generation missionary. My parents were missionaries in the Bahamas. I know what some of y'all are thinking. Right, Brother Nathan, suffering for Jesus. Well, I will tell you, it was definitely paradise. But it's very primitive. No running water,
No electricity. 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you want to get in the house because if you don't, the mosquitoes are going to haul you off and consume your body. That was life for me. My dad was preaching hell hot and heaven sweet on a Thursday night. When my dad gave the altar call, I didn't walk down the aisle. I ran down the aisle and I said, Daddy, I need to be saved. Is there not a cause? If we're so excited about the day we trusted Christ, how much more exciting it is to go to your loved ones, your own countrymen, and win them to Jesus. How much more of an honor it is, instead of saying, Brother Nathan, because I've heard a grandmother say this, Brother Nathan, you can preach to all the teens you want to, but don't preach to my grandkids. I want to keep my grandkids safe. You know what? They're safer in the center of God's will in the backside of some jungle in Africa than they are right down the road in sin. Please don't hold your kids and your grandkids. Give them to the Lord and say, Lord, it'd be an honor to send them out. It'd be an honor to see them serve on the mission field somewhere. Is there not a cause? Y'all saw the verse already. The Bible says in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. That inheritance, my friend, it's heaven. It's heaven. Listen, I am looking forward to heaven. Some of you older ones, you're looking forward to heaven. Amen. You woke up this morning, it was snap, crackle, and pop. And you're looking for that glorified body you're going to get. Amen. But you know how awesome it's going to be when you get to heaven? And listen, we're all standing around the throne and we're worshiping God, having a grand old time. Hey, you know how great it's going to be that some black African will walk over to you and begin to pull on your robe and you turn around and he says, merci beaucoup, mon ami. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I'm in heaven today because you sent a missionary to Africa and you faithfully supported him down through the years. Well, I wonder if some Asian would walk over to you and they say, the greater the bow, the greater the honor. And they would bow and say, shishye, thank you. Thank you. Or some Hispanic would walk over to you, gracias por todo. Thank you for everything. Is it worth supporting missionaries? I'm telling you it is. I'm telling you it is. But hey, listen, as grand as it is to send missionaries from this church, and it is an incredible honor, but so much the more as it is for you to see the cause and go find your friends and your family members and win them to Jesus. You say, Brother Saunders, how do I do that? It's one beggar tell another beggar where the bread is. It's that simple. You tell them how you got saved. Hey, man, my story's going to be different than yours. Yeah, Brother Bob stood up here and he said, I got saved when I was an older man. And he said, boy, I had a lot of regrets. It's different. But God's going to lead and guide and direct you to individuals that need to hear the gospel. There's a cause. Number three, I want you to see this. There's the cry of the missionary. Look at me in verse 46. Now listen, David's talking to Goliath. He says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day of the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Now this is the phrase I want you to underline in your Bible. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Circle the phrase, that all the earth may know. Now listen, this was David's battle cry. He's talking to Goliath. But for us, for you and I today, say it with me, that all the earth may know. Let's say it together. That all the earth may know. Let's say it again, but say it a little bit louder. Kind of like a battle cry. That all the earth may know. You know what? When you wake up every morning and your feet touch the ground, you know what you should say? That all the earth may know. Why am I going to live for the Lord today? That all the earth may know. God no longer uses angels as messengers. He doesn't. Listen, if somebody comes to your house, knocks on your door, and they say, I'm an angel from God, you know what I would do? I'd slam the door in their face and look for the first gun I can find. You know why? Because the guy's a liar. God no longer uses angels. He wants to use you and I. He wants to use the church. The very last thing he gave to the church was the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Anybody here that are Yankees? Come on now. I know you're hiding amongst the crowd. Come on. That's right. Hold your hands up. Okay, I'm going to put it in terms you'll understand. The Great Commission is for you guys. Okay? Anybody from North Carolina? If there was, this is what I would say. The Great Commission is for you-ins. For the rest of us that are just Southerners, it's for y'all. See, Brother Saunders, what are you saying? We have no excuse. All of us understand this morning that it's to all of us. And last of all, I close with this. Listen, you can have the courage of a missionary, and you can have the cause of a missionary, and you can even see the cry of a missionary. But without this last thing, it's all in vain. That is the commitment of a missionary. The commitment. You can say all day long, preacher, I'll go. I'll go across the streets, or I'll go across the seas. I'll tell others the gospel. But take some commitment. I want you to see here, David definitely had some commitment. Verse 32, David's telling King Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, when I grew up watching the Andy Griffith Show. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? Everybody knows Mr. Darling? Oh, yeah, I always loved it when Mr. Darling came to town. Andy Griffith always said, boy, those boys look all keyed up. Yeah, I don't think they had much of a personality. But one of the things that Mr. Darling always told Andy Griffith was this. Actions speak louder than words. They do. Actions speak louder than words. This morning, Heritage Baptist Church, may I challenge you, implore you, in biblical terms, I beseech you, I'm begging you, will you be committed in reaching others with the gospel? Listen, if there's a commitment this morning, I can promise you this much, you'll have to get more pews or chairs. You have to put chairs out in the aisles. You say, well, how's that going to work? Oh, it's pretty simple. Because you're so committed, you're going after them. And when you start leading them to Christ, hey, just tell them, hey, come on with me. Hey, you can be my guest. Hey, better yet, you can eat lunch with us. We'll take you out to eat. He said, Brother Saunders, that's going to cost me something. It costs all of us something. When are you going to start investing? Yeah. So, you're enticing them to come. I don't care how you get them here. VBS, when I worked in Bible college, you know how we got kids onto the bus? Here's a candy cane. Here's candy. You say, why? It's pretty simple. It's not so much in the candy. It's in telling them the gospel. When I lived in Montana, you know one of the ways I got other guys to go come to church with me? I built relationships with them. I went hunting with them. It's part of culture out there. It's not so much a sport, it's culture. Yeah, I figured this out when I planned our very first revival, Pastor. I planned the first week of gun season, didn't know it. It turned into a glorified women's conference. Yeah. All the guys were gone. I called another preacher friend that he planted a church. I said, I told him what was going on. He laughed. He said, Brother Nathan, plant 3 weeks after gun season. He said, those guys, go hunting with them. He said, they'll come to church with you. You know what? He was right. It's you telling others who He is. It's you building a relationship with them. That's going to take some commitment. You see, Brother Saunders, but those people, they're different than me. I know, I guarantee you, there are subdivisions all around this place where they speak other languages that you don't speak. But you know what would be the world to them is if you showed up and tried to learn a little bit of their language. Invite them to church. My very first phrase I ever learned, un regalo para ti. Free gift for you. That's my first Spanish phrase I ever learned. Un regalo para ti. And I'd give them a track. Everybody's always worried. Well, Hispanics are always talking bad about us. Really? Nah, they're not. They're probably talking about the soccer game that they just watched the night before. How many of y'all ever seen a Muslim go into Walmart and this is all you see? I'll never forget Leah walked. We were walking down aisles together and everything. And Leah was wandering up ahead of us. She was just a little thing then. She walked up, and here's this lady. I mean, full from head to toe. And all of a sudden, I saw Leah scampering back to me. I said, what's the matter? She goes, she's scary.
Yeah.
She's not scary. She's just a human being. Have compassion on people. Be nice to people. Reach them with the gospel. The commitment. David, here it is. I'll show it to you. Ready? You're going to see it. When you see it, the light's going to go off. Notice here in verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, chose him five smooth stones. Some commentators, they say the reason why he chose five stones is because there was Goliath and he had four other brothers. I don't know. I don't know if in his mind, I take on one, I'm taking them all on. I don't know. But I do know this. The Bible says he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And here's the phrase I want you to see. And he drew near to the Philistine. Listen, if you're going to reach sinners with the gospel, it's pretty simple. You got to get close to them. You got to get close to them. So what about this morning, Heritage Baptist Church? Will you go? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Luke, if you'll come to the piano, just play something softly. Nobody looking around. I'm going to ask the question this morning. Heritage Baptist Church, will you go? Will you go? I ask you the question, how many of you have lost loved ones, friends, family members? Right now, I want you to think about those individuals right now. Now, I want you to raise your hand. Those individuals that come to your mind. If you have somebody right now that's upon your heart that's lost, will you raise your hand? You say, why, Brother Saunders? Because I honestly want you thinking about them. Can I tell you something? Here's the sad truth. The truth is this. If they die without Christ, they'll split hell wide open. How long has it been since you came to an old-fashioned altar and bowed the knee and begged the God of heaven, Lord, will you give me the courage to reach them with the gospel? Lord, will you give me the words to say? Lord, I don't want my family members to die and go to a devil's hell. Lord, I got to do something about it. I wonder if it's been a while. May I encourage you this morning, why don't you get out of your seat, find a place in this altar, bow the knee and say, God, will you give me the courage that I need? Lord, I want to go. I want to tell my family members the truth. How sad would it be at the close of this service if there's a message on your phone that very loved one that's so dear to you was to slip out to eternity? You know what thoughts would come to your mind? Why didn't I tell them the gospel? Why didn't I invite them to church? Why didn't I give them another track? Why didn't I do more? And now it's too late. Will you go? You may be here this morning. You say, Brother Saunders, I'm going to just be real and honest with you. If I was to die today, I don't know where my soul would go. Brother Saunders, that I'm concerned about the destiny of my soul. If I was to die in my sleep, in my seat, I have no idea where my soul would go. Preacher, that bothers me. That concerns me. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise I'm not even going to come to you. I just simply want to pray for you. Preacher, please pray for me. I don't know where my soul is going when I die, and it bothers me. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up right back down? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to bother you. I promise. Just me and the pastor looking in the Lord. Preacher, please pray for me. I don't know where my soul is going when I die. It bothers me. It concerns me. Preacher, please pray for me. I'm just going to be honest this morning. Would you slip your hand up right back down? I just want to pray for you. Anybody at all? Anybody? As the piano begins to play, why don't you move to the altar right now? Do business with the Lord. Your pastor is going to come and lead out this invitation. You do as the Lord leads.